Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The game of football is about maximizing the times you have momentum.
Now, it's time to go under the helmet with Green Bay left tackle David Bakhtiari.
There will always be momentum swings and momentum shifts throughout a game, and the ability to maximize that wave is crucial.
Brought to you by Bofording Beer, Milwaukee's new imported favorite beer. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location.
Two-time All-Pro David Bakhtiari joins the Wendy's Big Show Tuesdays, 4:35, talking Packers football, and he starts out the season today, brought to you by Bofring Beer. It's David Bakhtiari on the Wendy's Big Show. DB69, welcome to the third year, and appreciate you joining us here each week talking about your team on the Wendy's Big Show, man.
I'm just happy you guys are still keeping me on. This is nice.
Well, no.
A little three-peat.
We couldn't take this away. We couldn't take this away from the listeners, getting to go underneath the helmet and talk about what really Packers fans want to talk about, and that is the offense, and something I know you've heard all conversations of all offseason long. How done is the locker room with the conversations of Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur getting along?
I think it's pretty comical. Just the fact that it's still even brought up, I mean, it grabs headlines. It's something that it's kind of clickbait at this point, so eventually when something else bigger comes up that they'll move on to, that'll pretty much be the end of that.
I don't know about that. I guess I don't know if I'm there yet, only because of, and part of it is what came out of what happened with the end of last season with Mike McCarthy and obviously his dismissal, and then the stories that filtrated out from people that were obviously outside of that locker room about what it was like with Rodgers and McCarthy both in there together and how that whole thing was going forward. And since McCarthy's no longer there and Rodgers is still there, I think that's where the questions lie right now as far as how it will play out with the new coach.
I mean, I think the seasons will kind of tell us every game, every week.
For sure.
But, I mean, as of right now, seem cordial, seem happy, just like the old staff. So whatever those bad things that were just said kind of went on behind closed doors. And I don't know if we got to bring all this negativity going on right now. I mean, we're 1-0.
Yes, sir.
Bring a little bit of positivity. I feel like we're kind of jumping off and following this clickbait, like, let's focus on these attention-grabbing, what's Aaron and Matt, or what's, what happened with Aaron and Mike, like, hold on, we just beat the Bears, division rival, who, won the division last year. I mean, I think we need to switch gears here.
All right, let's switch gears then.
Let's
switch gears, 6'9". How many beers can you chug at one time?
Now we're talking.
How many you got?
That's what I'm talking about. That's
six pack.
Yeah.
Let's race one of these days.
Yeah,
unlike the old guy that used to ask these questions and bring you in and out, I think I could at least be able to stand with you for at least half of the six pack.
Yeah, I think for me, the more I get, the quicker I go. The easier they go down.
Well, my good friend Billy here has a deal with Bofording Beer. So we might be able to hook you up with some Bofording Beer when time comes, Billy.
Yes, sir. And it really depends on how aggressive we're trying to go. David, these aren't just the regular kind of beers that you're drinking. These are the delicious, balanced ones that come at like 7.5% ABV.
That sounds right up my alley.
David Bakhtiari, left tackle of the Green Bay Packers, joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show.
So, David, tell me how different LaFleur's offense is from McCarthy's. What should we be looking for?
Trying to think of how I can say this without giving it too much away. I mean, they both ran zone schemes. I think it really just boils down to the philosophy behind the certain offenses. I think you're going to see a little bit more personnel switching. I think we'll jump into a little more of the jumbo personnel, you know, two tight end sets, three tight end sets, more use of the fullback. I feel like in the old offense, we used a lot of sub-personnel, which is like 11, which basically means not only having one tight end, one running back, and three wide receivers. So being bigger up front helps you. I mean, it changes how the defense is going to basically put out their personnel and change up the style of plays, which I think can open up a little bit more in the middle of the field. But beyond that, the difference in zone schemes is pretty much the philosophy about it, is everything's going to kind of look the same. And with all the window dressing and, you know, what one formation can have will be like seven or eight different plays.
Right. So, and it also feels like, too, that the receivers feels like they're tighter, lined up tighter, maybe almost closer to the edge or inside the numbers almost feels like.
Yeah, and that, you know, obviously based on formations can help with that the window dressing that I'm talking about. So we can do these multiple runs, these multiple play-action passes, these multiple RPOs, these multiple reverses, screens, everything out of one formation going left and right, both strong side and weak side. And you really can't get a beat because you can do everything out of these fronts.
David, how does that help you in the first start? I mean, you guys go up against Leonard Floyd, who looked very much improved, and obviously Khalil Mack is one of the best in the game. Now you get Everson Griffin here with the Vikings and Von Miller next week with the Broncos. How good of a test is it for you as a two-time All-Pro to be able to go up against those guys right out of the chute?
I don't know how the two-time All-Pro can do that. I know that a three-time All-Pro feels like it's an early test right off the bat. You don't get much of a kind of a warm-up jumping in, you know, with the new system and everything. You're just kind of thrown into the fire. I know me and Brian have talked about it. We kind of, you know, got to get our rhythm going early and often. You know, we got a lot of really good pass rushers these first 5 weeks that we're going to be facing, and we obviously took a peek at it, but take it 1 week at a time. I feel like we did a pretty good job this previous week. I think as a whole, our offense and especially the offensive line do a little more crisp. But I think that's also just kind of getting used to the offense. But going into this week, obviously another good test. The good thing is we're at home. I think that can help out a lot with communication and overall execution.
You know, we've had Josh on the Wendy's Big Show when he played for the Packers, and we had TJ lying on when he played for the Packers, and we've had you on now for the last couple of years as well. All three of you have always, at some point or another throughout the season, talked about, yeah, it'd be nice if we ran the football a little bit more. It'd be nice if we ran the football a little bit more. Do you think you're finally going to get what you guys have all wanted, and that is run the football a little bit more this year because of Matt LaFleur's beliefs in what he wants to do on offense?
Yes, and I think that all stems back to the philosophy that I talked about. The offense is really predicated on these formations and these runs. And in order for everything to open up, you have to utilize everything. You can't run certain plays without using other ones. And that's me trying to be very vanilla, but...
No, but from that standpoint, oh, hold on, because Gary was trying to explain this the other day about this offense a little bit, and that is... You know, you're going to run a couple of plays to set up another play down the line, and if you're checking out and running some other stuff that doesn't go along with what's coming, it's kind of going to screw everything up then.
Yeah, I'll use this as this is an easy thing for the common fan to sound a little bit smarter.
Well, thanks for helping out with this.
in a run play, when you see these, like, actions in the backfield with, like, a wide receiver flying through, right behind the line of scrimmage, he's pulling certain linebackers. Now, if they don't start respecting him running through, that's where they call those plays to, you know, like give the ball off to the wide receiver real quick. So then it keeps the backside DN and the linebackers honest and true to their gaps. So if they're overplaying, that's where you see the big hits on like the reverse plays that people talk about. So each play sets each other up. You have to run the reverse so then they respect it, so then you can run the front side zones. And then the cutback plays, everything plays off each other. Same thing with play action. You can't, run play action pass. You can't do a run play action pass unless they're going to respect and actually think you're going to run the ball.
See, I like that. That's generic in general terms. That's pretty good, David. I
mean, perfect.
That was perfect. Now, let me ask you this. Much was made of this whole audible system. Like maybe the audible system is different under LaFleur than it is under McCarthy. Maybe now you have more check what means where maybe you call two plays and where with McCarthy you had it was kind of wide open. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much comes down to this. In this new offense, they've given the left tackle the responsibility to check the plays.
Now we're talking. Finally, you got some more responsibility.
Give the smartest guy on the field the opportunity.
6'9".
We're going to run a lot more.
Look at 6'9". 6'9".
I mean, it's really, again, that's to me, I see that as being the clickbait, the easy thing to kind of say out there. In every offense, you're going to have audibles. When you have a quarterback as smart and as brilliant and played as long as Aaron has, you're going to want to give him liberty within plays that puts you in better situations based upon what the defense is giving you, because after the 15-second mark, the walkie-talkie cuts off and you can no longer hear what the play caller is saying. So to have someone like Aaron, you want to be able to utilize some of his greatest attributes being quarterback, and that's not just what he's physically gifted, but what he's mentally gifted.
Talking with David Bakhtiari, three-time All-Pro, two-time second team last year. He was a first-team All-Pro in the NFL at left tackle, and he joins us Tuesdays 4:35 here on the Wendy's Big Show during Packer season, brought to you by Bofording Beer. David, you guys hold the Bears to just 3 points. The defense was outstanding. But what about those two dudes that everybody has heard of, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith? You were able to go up against them in training camp. Just how big can those acquisitions be for you guys this year?
Tremendous. I've gone against Preston a decent amount playing in Washington. I think we've played each other at least two or three times. So we're pretty familiar with each other. Ascending player, big player. You know, he's an every down kind of guy. So I'm obviously I was excited having him. Now, Za'Darius, I've played him, but I didn't really remember. And I've gone against Terrell Suggs so much, and he may have spilled in a little bit on my side, but not enough for me to really remember. But when he came onto our team, I was like, don't really remember this guy, but I mean, he showed up right away. You know, he's a lead by example. He's probably one of the bigger 6'3", 6'4" human beings I've ever seen. And, he's got a big upside. I mean, I'm very excited to see him as he progresses in his career, especially with us, because I think he's only trending up from here.
All right, I want to know about this general manager versus the previous general manager in Gutekunst versus Ted Thompson, because we've seen Demaryius Randall have his issues, gone, see ya, traded, bye-bye. Josh Jones didn't like how things were going as far as what they were doing, acquiring safeties. They let him play through training camp, see ya, bye-bye, you're gone too. What do you think of Gutekunst and his style? It seems like maybe they don't have as much patience as Ted did, who seemed to have a ton of patience. And it seems like reading an article today about Mercedes Lewis driving away after the last game of the year last year, mad with how the whole season went, and gets a call from the Packers GM to come back, and they talk it all out. And after an hour, he was really excited, looking forward to coming back this year. Talk about those two GMs.
I first off want to say, talk about the first GM, Ted. I mean, I wouldn't be where I was today if it weren't for him. He's the one who drafted me. He's the one who gave me my second contract. Stick around here. He's been awesome. And like you said, patience is his strong suit. Now, you know, certain people can have fusses about it, but if you look through his entire career, you know, he was an extremely successful GM, and he has a GM tree, if you will, of very highly successful GMs across the league. Goody, obviously, was one of the ones that was under Ted. And he's been great, too. He's been a little bit more active in around the locker room, talking to the guys a little bit more, like you said, even reaching out and talking with Mercedes. And he's been active, as you've seen, in free agency, just in general. He likes to have his hand in the pot with everything. Whether he is going to do something or not, we're starting to figure out, you know, and see what Gutekunst's style is as a GM.
At the end of Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy, there were reports that you rarely ever saw those two guys together like you did earlier on, and maybe they had kind of fallen apart from each other a little bit. With this new combo here, does it seem like these two guys are always connected, talking, and together?
You talking about with LaFleur and Goody?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, from again, it's not like I have just like a seat in the stadium and I'm just, you know, watching everyone do their work. I get pulled into all these different rooms of what I'm doing. I have to make sure I'm taking care of my job, so it's, can't see everything that's been going on. But obviously, yeah, I see their interaction, just like I saw Ted and Mike, so nothing, you know, kind of eye-catching that's different.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I don't think anybody saw 10-3 coming. I mean, that defense to us just played lights out. I mean, most certainly look a little bit more athletic than you guys been in years past, but I don't think anyone saw them holding the Bears to just 3 points.
I loved it. I haven't really been a part of too many games where literally the defense is carrying the offense, and it's really just a field position battle. Most of the games I've played in my 6 going on 7 years with the Packers has been, hey, we got to make sure we score because we know at a certain point they're going to start scoring. We got to make sure we put up enough points to keep them away. So that was fantastic. And I was saying after that game, worst case scenario, we're a good offense is what's going to happen. I pretty much can guarantee that with the weapons we have on offense and, you know, the system that we have, worst case scenario, we're good. We have a defense like that. They start doing that consistently. We're going to be a very scary team because you're talking about a commitment and a philosophy on offense of running the ball with a nasty, stingy defense. That's the recipe for dominating away games, which at the end of the day, those would help get you the first seed, second seed, deep in the playoffs.
Once again, we'll move forward real quick here to Minnesota. Once again, Minnesota, they look pretty good defensively again, and feels like Dalvin Cook is healthy. They want to run the football all over the place. Have you guys sat down and watched a little film? Of course, you probably already know most about them because still the Zimmer's is still the head coach, but is there anything different?
Yeah, I mean, from what we've seen, not too much. Their personnel has even pretty much been the same the last 3 years. A couple few different faces, but overall – same on defense, and obviously Zimmer's been calling their defense pretty much the same. And then obviously offensively, you know, we saw even, I think this is Cook's third year. His first year, he was a great talent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got hurt, so having him come back, I think people kind of forgot how good he was even before he got hurt. Obviously, stop the run, number one thing to do. That would help us put us in a position. But I think it's going to be a good contest. We're excited for it. It's going to be our first game in Lambeau. I think it's going to be definitely going to be a fun one.
Last one, let you get going here. I saw that you jumped off a bridge or something with your legs tied, right?
Bungee jumping, yes.
Yeah, that's what they call, that's what you young folks call it.
That's what the young folks call it.
Yeah, well, old folks, we call it suicide.
So the millennials call it, yeah.
Yeah, we call it old folks, we call it suicide. How scary was that? I mean, how did it feel? And how did you get there? Who talked you into doing something like that?
I mean, I always said if there's something that I know can support my weight when it comes to bungee jumping, I'll do it.
Biggest fear.
So I only chose – I was only able to do the tandem one. They pretty much hooked up both the bungee cords to me that would support two people going. And they're like, well, this can support at least me and a half. So I'm like, okay, I feel a little more comfortable about this.
Sure.
And then the feeling, I mean, it's really tough to describe. Then you really have to let go of everything. You have to just accept that you're going to be free-falling. And you're literally putting all your eggs in one basket, hoping that thing pull, like, gives you that little pull and gives you that feeling of, I got you. Now you're going to stretch out, and we're going to hop up and down, and they're going to lower me down and get me on a little boat thing in the river.
David, as another 300-pounder, that would be my fear. Absolutely, you just said it. If I know anything that can support my weight, one, I'm not even going to test it because they're not going to lie to me if that weight is going to be able to be supported.
Well, would you do it again?
Absolutely. I actually want to do a higher one so I can have longer.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, wait a second.
Do what that? Say do what?
I want to do a higher bungee jump so I can have a longer free fall before I feel the pull.
Well, now, hold on a second here. Look. If this is all about adrenaline rush and free fall, why don't you just go jump out of a plane? I mean, parachute out of a plane. That's perfect.
I've actually heard that it's easier to jump out of a plane than jump off a bridge. I guess because when you start falling so fast, you don't really feel like you're going anywhere.
Right.
Whereas the 2.5 or 3 seconds of pure to like free fall and just staring right down, I was like, holy. And I'll be honest, I was wired like the rest of the day. I was amped up. They gave us the video. I maybe watched it like 50 times after. I was just like, oh my God. I was wired. It was like drinking like 8 cups of coffee.
That's amazing.
David, let us ink you down to this new extension before you go jumping off the higher bridge.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, the Milwaukee Bucks. We saw you at a couple of the Milwaukee Bucks game at the end of the year. Did you have a good time there? What do you think about the Milwaukee Bucks and that run Giannis and all those guys made? Seems like you guys had a lot of fun there.
I mean, I had a great time. It's been fun. I haven't really been the biggest basketball fan growing up as a child. I think I maybe went to one basketball game my entire life up until I got in the league. So to go to these Bucks games and really honestly feel like I've become – a Milwaukee Bucks fan that was born and raised in the Bay Area. It's been so exciting to watch. I've just had such a good time, obviously. And, I definitely look forward to, you know, watching them in the future and then also being at their games. It's a great environment. They do such a good job. And the team is, I mean, obviously on the rise, but Giannis, I mean, that's the guy you want to build around in this day's NBA.
So I know you guys practice everything during training camp, but did you try to give 12 a couple of pointers on being able to finish that spotted cow next year during the Eastern Conference Finals?
I know somehow, some way that he's practicing on his own. When the time comes, I know he'll be ready.
David, appreciate it, man. Tuesdays, 4:35 throughout the football season, we get the insight that only a three-time All-Pro in the NFL can give you. Appreciate it, man. This is going to be fun all year.
Yes, sir. Y'all take care.
Yeah, take it easy. Buddy. Good luck against the Vikings. That's David Bakhtiari, number 69 and number 1 in your hearts on the Wendy's Big Show. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.